where Trumbull comes first for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Well, we always like to get to know the people who stand up and raise their hand and say, you know what? I think I've got what it takes, and I have the energy and verve and passion to represent other people in our legislature. So we're going to get to know Michael Grant right now. He's running for state rep in the 133rd, representing parts of Fairfield and Bridgeport, which is the same district that Christine Vahey is currently representing. We'll get her on hopefully next week. She'll be the incumbent Democrat. Michael Grant is running as a Republican. Hello, Michael, and welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Hi.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me on.
It's a pleasure. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Michael. Let's hear a little bit about who you are, where you come from, and just who you are.
Sure. So this is my first go-around with politics. I work with my family owns a small business in Stamford that was formed in 1987. I grew up in Stamford and found our way to Fairfield in 2018. I've got two children in the public schools in Fairfield, one in Stratfield School, which is our neighborhood school, and then another going into Tomlinson Middle School, and he's going into eighth grade.
I like the Stratfield School. I know it very well. I have a condo that I've owned since 1998 at Dogwood Green, quite literally steps away.
That is right where my house is. We're just three houses away from Stratfield School.
Oh, that's very, very cool. It's a nice neighborhood. Are you happy there?
We love Stratfield.
Yeah.
That's part of why we're running is to preserve Stratfield.
Yeah. So tell me about it. I understand that you were part of a change.org petition. I don't know if you wrote the petition or you just signed on. The petition is named Save Downtown Fairfield, Repeal 830G, Stop the Umpqua Road six-story housing development. What's going on there?
So, yes, I did write the petition in concert with Brian Farnan, another candidate in Fairfield running in the 132nd district. So the Umpqua Road project, if anybody's familiar with the Sacred Heart Community Theater, the old community theater has finally been renovated, and the historic beauty has been restored to that very middle of downtown Fairfield, almost directly across from Shermantown Green. Mm-hmm. So that is finally returned to its former, you know, sort of beauty. And as soon as that happened, there is now an 830G development application proposed to go directly next door to it, which will displace, I think, six small businesses.
Wait. And you're saying next door to the theater with the historic marquee, they want to take down that street? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. So in between Umpqua Road and all the way to Sanford Street on the other side, where Archie Moore's is, if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, sure.
There's a bunch of small businesses there.
Right.
La Vita's, a popular coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yes. The owner of the property does not want to do that with his property anymore and is seeking to build an 830G six-story, I think 63 units and 105 total bedrooms, something in that. You know, it's over 100 bedrooms worth there. There'll be no business, no commercial spot. So that street side now will have no commercial business. It will be strictly residential.
Well, let's just talk about development. A lot of people think, Michael, that mixed use, that some residential mixed with some commercial is healthy for a downtown area. In theory, do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. In fact, as long as said development still meets with the character of the, you know, so Sacred Heart Community Theater is, I think, at maximum, if you looked at it, maybe two stories tall. Maybe
exactly. How do you go from two to six?
It's completely out of scale with the area. And unfortunately, as you probably know, or maybe listeners don't, TPZ or the Town Planning Zoning Commissions have a very limited ability to stop these developments once the applications are in. The proof of burden is on TPZs to show a legitimate safety concern. And now I do have safety concern, pedestrian traffic on Sanford. The middle school kids, they leak out into that area after school. So there's kids everywhere. There's plans to be an underground parking garage. you know, a ramp coming up.
Nobody likes. Nobody likes underground parking garages. No woman likes them. I avoid them like the plague. I won't go in there.
I don't think it, you know, personally, I don't think that that's a safe idea for that area. But it's out of scale with the neighborhood, you know, and it's completely
what
out
is
of character.
The height, Michael Grant, what is the height requirement now for downtown Fairfield? Is it 2 stories, 3 stories, 30 feet? What is it?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I know that we did our own TOD, transit-oriented development study, a couple of years ago before a lot of the developments went in near the Fairfield Metro. And our own findings was that even in a situation around a train station, you would not want to build more than 3 stories. So there was an original so I don't know the answer, frankly, on that, and I can check with TPZ on that. I just know that the recommendation, our own recommendation, was not to go higher than 3, I believe.
So you wrote this petition. Did the petition get a lot of signatures?
Yes, it has 1,800 signatures so far. We're going to sort of keep the momentum going on that. And the next TPZ hearing is July 26th at 6:30 p.m. In Fairfield. The room has been filling up. People are catching on. News 12 showed up at the last TPZ hearing. One of the local, I think it was the Fairfield Citizen, picked up on the petition. So now we're gonna try to build momentum and have a zoning rally at 5 p.m. the day of the next hearing, immediately prior, at Shermantown Green, and hope for a big turnout there. And then everybody can go directly over to the public hearing, because ultimately people need to have their voices heard on this. You know, I grew up in Stamford, in a little section called Springdale. And it was not unlike Stratfield at one point. There's neighborhood school, there's shops, you know, kids used to bounce around between stores buying candy, and you know, one of the delis had an arcade in it. And now Springdale's just 4-story buildings. As you drive down Hope Street towards Glenbrook, if anybody's familiar with that, and once you get to Glenbrook, it becomes even more commercial. But the point of me telling you that is that's the cautionary tale. If we don't retain some level of local control on this stuff, we're looking at, in my opinion, at another Springdale in Fairfield, possibly another Stamford. Just to give you an idea, there's a proposal right now on Black Rock Turnpike near Barcelona. There's an approval and a building already on the corner of Black Rock Turnpike and Castle Avenue. There's another approval on Castle Avenue. There's another approval on Beacon Square. There's a big fight going on Beach Road for another 6-story development they're trying to build on Beach Road across the street from the Gaelic American Club. We've also just had a building go up on Unkowa Place, almost directly across from where this new Unkowa Road development will be. And that is, it rises above Tomlinson School. So now as you're playing football at Tomlinson on the field there, you're looking directly up in an apartment building, and it's 2 or 3 stories. Yeah. So to give you an idea of the development, and of course, all of this is in addition to what we've already done on our own with transit-oriented development around the metro.
That's
So we really have to be careful here that we're not creating a cityscape, because that's not why people invested in Fairfield. You know, most families came to Fairfield for schools. Most people came to Fairfield for beaches, parks. You know, there's tons of open spaces and parks. We have to be careful that we're not losing that character. And we shouldn't be afraid or think that it's controversial to want to retain the character of a town that we've all invested in.
So, Michael Grant, is the zoning issue that animated you, that prompted you to run for public office?
That's one of them. But, the other is we've got a serious crime issue. We've got a legitimate issue in Fairfield. My own car was stolen out of my driveway in May. I heard them at 5 a.m. drive it away, drive over our neighbor's lawn. We still do not have that car back. And that happened in May. And the reason we don't is because it was impounded for a number of weeks with the New Haven Police Department because of the shell casings they found in the car.
Oh, my. In other words, they found the car, but they won't give it back to you?
They finally did. It's now being repaired. But the larger issue is that the people that stole that car had guns on them.
Oh, boy.
Okay, this is the reality. And the other day, this is about 2 weeks ago, up on Black Rock Turnpike, the police did pursue a car. that they were allowed to pursue because they had carjacked it and assaulted someone, so they were allowed to pursue it. And I can go into the discretionary pursuit that I think is required, but they were able to pursue, and they got a 15 and a 17-year-old young men, both of which had guns on them. Okay, and then there was a shooting at Wafu Restaurant in Southport on the border of Westport, which maybe you heard about. That was only a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And now this past weekend, there was another shooting.
Kings Highway.
On Kings Highway. A young 15-year-old boy was killed.
That's right.
And then I follow what's going on in Bridgeport, and it's almost every other night.
And you
and
should.
And sometimes it's broad daylight. Mm-hmm. And the issue is we know what we need to do to get these guns off the street. Okay. There's been, you know, I studied criminology. I studied sociology. Basic criminology 101 is you point to something called the Casey gun experiment. I implore everybody to check this out. You can find it on a couple of .govs. It's called the Casey gun experiment. It involves very proactive policing. It involves, real police presence. Okay. It involves funding. And it involves really stepping up the game, and the results were astounding. I think they had something like a 68% or 70% reduction in gun crime in Kansas City while they ran this test.
Wow!
So we know things that we can be doing. However, there's been legislation passed, the Police Accountability Act in 2020, which was very controversial. We have police officers unable to pursue for property crime, okay, which is tough because, you know, I get it. You don't want to just chase a kid or chase a juvenile who stole a car and then somebody gets hurt down the road because of it.
Yeah.
The reality, though, is now when you learn the cautionary tale that the people that stole my car had guns on them.
Mm-hmm.
The kids that they chased off of Black Rock Turnpike had guns on them.
Yeah.
Okay. The reality is we may need to return discretionary pursuit to police officers because we're not getting the guns off the street because we're not making the stops. And then additionally, with the traffic stops, you know, police officers are no longer able to ask for consent to search a car during a traffic stop. And they would tell you that that's one of the ways that they find the things that we're looking for. So we're seeing an increase in gun violence in Fairfield, in Bridgeport. And you have a situation where police can no longer do the things they need to do to keep our community safe. I really believe that. So that is one of the main issues for me, certainly, because we should all feel safe in Fairfield. Frankly, we should feel safe in Bridgeport. Families should feel safe.
Michael Grant, will you stay over? We'll go to some commercials. We'll come right back. We're chatting with Michael Grant. He's running for state rep in the 133rd Fairfield and Bridgeport. If you'd like to ask him a question or talk with him or let him know how you feel if you live in the neighborhood or you're a prospective voter or elector, 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.
Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You got chutzpah. You tell it the way it is.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Joining us is Michael Grant. He's running for state rep in the 133rd, representing part of Fairfield and Bridgeport. We're getting to know him and the issues that have incentivized him to run to be a representative. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Lisa.
So, Michael, I see how active you are in your civic life. I'm very impressed by the enthusiasm you have for keeping downtown Fairfield, the town that you fell in love with, which is why that you moved there. And I'm also hearing about crime and car theft. You're not the only one to echo it. My closest friends had not one but two cars stolen off their driveway in Westport this winter. Two. Same driveway and in a completely residential area. And in one case, they called the police as they were watching the car leaving their driveway. And the police said, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. And that made them feel so impotent, you know, that was really hard on them.
And that cuts to the point that if we're now to the point where, this stuff is occurring in our own driveways. And the criminals know they're not stupid. They know that they can't be pursued for just stealing a car. So the moment they're in the car, goodbye, they're gone. And they know it. So because of that, they're getting more and more brazen. And, you know, we've seen this with the cat. Everybody's probably heard this, too. There's a huge catalytic converter issue where people are getting their catalytic converter stolen out of their driveway, work vehicles, at offices. And unfortunately, in Milford, you know, some poor guy comes out of his house, and because the people stealing his catalytic converter, he catches them. He says, "Hey, you know, what are you doing?" And the man is hit with some sort of metal object, and it gets 300 stitches across his face.
Oh,
yeah, that
goodness.
Happened in Milford. 300 stitches across his face because he tried to stop people from stealing his catalytic converter. So it's not – when you say you can't pursue for property crime, we have to acknowledge that the people committing these types of property crimes are often carrying weapons and are often dangerous.
And what you're saying is there's a brazenness to this, right? That's
totally,
what you're really saying.
Because they know the rules. They know what the police can and can't do. And the moment they figured that out, they are now exploiting the system.
So, Michael Grant, have you run for any public office before, or is this your first foray into politics?
This is my first. I wish I didn't have to do this. I'm a dad of two. I coach football in the fall in Fairfield. I operate my family small business in Stanford. This is something that I was compelled to do because, you know, people need to know this stuff. People need to know that this stuff is going on, and people need to know that we have choices, that we don't have to have legislation that ties the hands of police, that we don't have to have legislation that allows your quaint little neighborhood to be overdeveloped without your own TPZ commission having a say in it. Lastly, I would say that we also have, you know, an incredible affordability issue in this state. And when we talk about, you know, inflation, I see people say, well, we can't do anything about inflation at the state level. And I totally reject that idea. And I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
Diesel, the economy, I work in logistics, okay? The economy very much runs on diesel. Mm-hmm. All right? Diesel fuel is driving the cost of your groceries, of your clothing, your necessities, and it even drives the cost of your gasoline because, of course, it's the trucks that drive it around, right?
But it's a pretty filthy fuel, Michael. You will acknowledge.
No.
Yeah.
No, I understand that. I totally understand that. But as it is right now, there's still millions and millions and millions of trucks driving around our goods. So it'd be nice to ideally flip a switch and all of a sudden we're removing this, but it's not possible to do that. And in the interim, we've never extended the gas tax to diesel, okay, which would have had a real impact on lowering the cost of goods. We allowed the diesel tax to raise by 23% at the beginning of this month when we could have called a special session and halted it. We didn't do it. So now diesel tax went up 23%. It's up to 49.2 cents per gallon.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Right. So think about this. Back of the envelope, I'm not even going to do the math. I've done it before. But it's something like, you know, if a truck pulls up and gets 175 gallons worth of fuel, the state is taking, I don't know, it's somewhere between $50 and $100 themselves. I mean, to me, it's an outrageous number. It's an outrageous number. And the other thing is that I wrote an op-ed to this. I worked with, some of the trucking association and some the energy association here in the state. And I worked an op-ed about the highway use tax, which is coming on January 1st. And we're going to start to charge trucks between 2 and 17 cents per mile to bring our goods around, including the fuel. Most trucks will pay 10 cents. Most of the trucks you see, the 53 or 54 footers, will pay 10 cents a mile. But the reality is the truck doesn't pay that tax. The consumers that buy the goods do, right? So the groceries will be more expensive.
So, Michael Grant, what do you think, if you've been thinking deeply about policy and incentives and disincentives?
Yes.
What do you think is the correct balance or the correct policy we should do to try and disincentivize dirty fuels, which nobody likes, but also be easier on our own pocketbooks so we can afford a grocery bill? What do you think the right balance is?
I think what we can't do is push through the policies before the infrastructure is in place to make these switches. Okay, I don't have all the answers on what we can do.
So you think we ought to be moving towards battery and electric and trying to convert a lot of these trucks so that they use less diesel, but in the meantime, we should be not taxing them crazy? Is that what
you're saying? We have to be cognizant of what we're doing to American families and Connecticut families while we try to push these initiatives that we're not ready for. If I hear another transportation secretary say, hey, buy an electric car, it's ridiculous. It's like, let them eat cake. Who can afford an electric car? Who can afford? How many people can afford a car that costs $55,000 on average? It's not right. It's not fair. So we're pushing an initiative before people are ready to before these electric vehicles are affordable.
Yeah, it's before, it's a tough question, right? Because we don't have that much time to wait, right? And so which comes first, the chicken or the egg, in terms of pushing policy? It's very difficult. I've been a hybrid owner ever since the first Prius came out.
Right.
Since 2004, I gave up the Prius a long time ago to go to the Hyundai hybrid because it's a little heavier car and I feel safer on the highway on it. And I get about 45 miles a gallon and I've never complained because I feel like 45 miles a gallon is a reasonable way for me to navigate gas prices when they go down and when they go up. You know, and I think that that's a reasonable kind of compromise for our infrastructure. But I don't see trucks going hybrid. I don't hear about more hybrid. I don't. And by the way, the cost to buy the Hyundai hybrid wasn't cheap, but it wasn't a Tesla. It was affordable for us.
Right. Well, if you talk about moving off of gas completely, then, you know, we're on to electric cars. There is electric trucks in development. There's autonomous electric trucks being tested out west. You know, I'm sure that that's the future, but we've got to get to a place where, you know, I believe it was Elon Musk who said that because of inflation and because of costs of all the things that go into transporting these batteries and mining for the minerals needed to make these batteries, that it was no longer cost effective to present a Tesla that was going to be around a $30,000 price point.
Yeah.
So we've got to acknowledge that while inflation is going up, the cost of producing these electric batteries and electric vehicles is only going up. So we're going in the wrong direction to make these things affordable. I don't have all the answers, but I do know that at the end of the day, people are going to have some real choices to make this winter when they have to get their home heating fuel and it's $6 a gallon. That's a very real cost to Connecticut families. Do I think we're doing everything to alleviate that cost and that burden on Connecticut families? No, I don't. I do not think that we are at all, actually. So that's my contention. I agree with you. We've got to look at new energy sources. We've got to look into, you know, more electric, of course. But in the interim, we have to also acknowledge that we're not anywhere near that right now. And Connecticut families, American families are paying the price.
Yeah, I'm very afraid that people are not going to be able to afford to heat their homes this winter. I've been talking about it for 4 months. It's going to happen. We're going to hear ugly stories. Michael Grant, thank you very much for coming on the show. Would you like to tell people how they can reach you or find out more about you offline? How can they find you?
Yes, if you can find my website, it's just Grant for State Rep. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. We'd love to see you at the July 26th rally. Come talk, you know, your zoning concerns. Shermantown Green at 5 p.m. July 26th. Would love to see you.
Thank you so much. Michael Grant on the Lisa Wexler Show. He's being opposed by Christine Vahey, who was already the incumbent Democrat state rep for the same district. She has been invited to be on our show. Hopefully she'll make an appearance next week. Thank you so much, Michael, for coming on. It's been a pleasure to get to know you. In the next hour of the Lisa Wexler Show, we're going to move to the kindness of strangers. And, of course, that only works if you pick up the phone and you tell us a nice story. So you have to search your little gray cells for a moment in time or an anecdote or something where it sort of reaffirmed your faith in people because unexpectedly somebody was nice to somebody for a change. So much of the news is filled with people that aren't being nice, and that's a euphemistic word for it. 203-333-9422. I'm Lisa Wexler. We'll be back in the next hour. I'll catch you up on all the news you may have missed. We'll talk about some weekend fun as well, because let's look forward to something. Stay tuned for the next hour of the show.